you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus, as our brother has been bringing to us, then you can take up the words of the psalmist as he speaks in this psalm, and you can say, O God, Thou art my God. What a place of resting. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. And the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I love that psalm, and after listening to our brother and just reading it out loud, I was just amazed at how many things from what he said have been placed into this psalm. The thought of praise and why we praise him, the thought of his right hand holding us, and the shelter that we have in him. But let's take a look at the beginning of the psalm. The psalmist was written by David. It was written while David was in the wilderness of Judah. And you know, that wilderness would be to the west of the Dead Sea, reaching from there to the Mediterranean. And as we journeyed through that place, I remember how barren it was. We took some pictures there, looking out into that wilderness of Judah. It was a very barren place. The hills were there. The cave where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls and the mountains, and then as you drove up a little ways, all you saw was the sand dunes and a few bushes here and there, but it was a barren place. And I see David in that barren place, and his heart is crying out within him for his God. Now, tonight you've sat and listened to the gospel, and you heard what a blessed message it is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Has that struck a chord in your heart? That your own heart would say to you, yes, Lord, that's what I'm going to rest on the fact that you died and you bore the penalty for my sin. And the fact that you live again, I'm going to rest in that. And now I can say, oh God, Thou art my God. You know this cry here is the oh God, the word for God here is Eli. It's the same word that the Lord Jesus used when he was crucified on the cross. And he used that term, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was a cry of supplication that came out from his heart. And you know, that's the place that your cry is going to have to be in order to receive Christ as a Savior. It will have to come from the innermost reaches of your being. That your emotional being is going to be touched by your mind as well. Sometimes we say, well, we need to speak to their heart. But I notice in the Word of God sometimes the mind is substituted for the Spirit, the Word. And they both need to be reached. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need the Word of God to reach in to our mind. But then, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Oh, I like that part. To the very being and the core of the man. There's where faith has to go. And it reaches there. And when he believes from that point, Oh, then he has a Savior. Now, if you've reached that point, then tonight you can say, oh God, thou art my God. If you can see Christ crucified for your sins, you can say, oh God, thou art my Jehovah. You're my Lord. I can see what you've accomplished for me. You know, David was crying it in the sense of the longing in his heart for the fellowship that he might have with his God and with his people. He's alone in a dry, thirsty land where no water was. But David cried and he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I see. I see three things here of seeking God early. There ought to be number one, seek him in your youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When the evil days come not, nor the years draw not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young person, he calls you to seek him while you're young. Oh, lest the day comes upon you when you've gotten old, and the aches and pains of the body are there, and your body is only crying out in its pain, and your mind becomes looking inwardly and reaching only to your own sorrow and having such a struggle to look up. That day might come. He says, remember him now when you're young before that day comes. I remember a dear sister that I visited in the hospital in the city of Waterloo. She said, oh, Ray, tell them while they're able to get up and move, to believe and put their trust in the Lord and seek their daily relationship with him, practicing their presence day by his presence day by day. That when they get here, it's so difficult for me to turn my mind and my thoughts to God because the pain of my body seems to hinder so much. She said, Ray, tell them to practice his presence while they're well. Young person, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I remember an old elderly lady. When I was a boy, she enjoyed the many things. She kind of was on the perimeter of the assembly. And she liked so many of the worldly things. And while she was younger, she spent her time doing those things. Oh, to a measure, she sought the fellowship of the believer. But you know, one day she got old and she was in her 80s. And she's one of the first people that the Lord laid on my heart as a young man to go knock on some doors. Milo's been telling us about the work of a pastor earlier today. And I recall as a young man standing up in a prayer meeting one day and saying, oh Lord, raise us up the gift of a pastor. Because as I looked around, I didn't sense it. At least it wasn't being practiced. And while I was praying that prayer, I'm sure I shook up some of my brethren, but I didn't do it purposefully, and I felt like I had a kick in the shins, and somebody said behind me, what's wrong with you knocking on a few doors? I can remember the feeling in my heart that night. I just turned it around to see who said that. But you know, as I said, well, Lord, who do I go to? And he said, well, to practice true religion is to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. And this was one of the widows. As I remember how she wept that day. And many times after, and she would say, oh, Ray, seems so hard to think about the things of God now. I find it so hard to read my Bible and so hard to pray. She began to tell me all her troubles. Well, I stuck with that sister, visiting with her until the Lord took her home, which wasn't too long after that. And I had been gone for some time, down in the summer at the camp, and this was the first year I was there, and I went back to the chapel at home. The first weekend camp was over, and I went to visit the sister. And I can remember laying there on her bed, her voice so weak you could hardly hear. And I got down on my knees beside her, and she said, "Oh, Raymond, it seems like the Lord has forsaken me." And I could say, "No, sister, He hasn't forsaken you, and He'll hold you up. You're safe and secure in His hand. Don't let the devil ruin your joy now." But you know, I could see that sister had a difficult time practicing God's presence when she was well. And she had a difficult time realizing God's presence when she was sick. You know, we need to seek Him early in our life, because those days might come when we're old and full of pain and feel that we're alone. And I notice that many who have been faithful to God, when they get sick and the mind begins to wander, sometimes those thoughts come. But you know, I think He said as a thought too, in the sense of seeking Him early, and that to seek Him early in the morning. I think it's a good thing when we have a time each day that we can spend in the Word of God before too much of the world gets at us. We need that time alone with Him in the sense of practicing His presence. There's a story told of a fellow that I think has a point to it. He used to come by an old church, and as he walked by that church, they noticed one day that he'd just walk inside, and he'd been in there for a while, and then he'd come back out, and they couldn't understand what he was doing in there. So the pastor sent his assistant over, and he said, "Go on in and hide behind the piano or the organ or something, and watch what he does." And so his assistant went in, and he watched him to see what he would do. And he'd walk in, he'd walk up to the front, and he'd take off his hat, and he'd say, "Jesus, it's Joe." And then he'd stand there, and the man said his lips would move, although I never heard what he said. And after a while, he'd put on his hat, and he'd walk back out. And they watched him do it day after day after day. And then finally one day, he didn't show up. And so they began to ask some questions as to where old Joe was. And they said he was in the hospital. And this was the story told about him while he was in the hospital. The nurses went to him one day and said, "What is there about you that has changed this ward? Before you came in this ward, these men would curse and swear. They were never satisfied with what I've done for them." And she said, "Since you've been here, the whole attitude of the place has changed. There is something about you that's touched this whole room." She said, "What is it?" And he looked at her and smiled. He said, "I don't know. But every day at noon," because that's the time he used to stop at the church, he said, "every day at noon, he comes and he stands at the foot of my bed, and he says, 'Yo, it's Jesus.'" Well, it's only a little story, but there's a point to it, that if you're willing to practice His presence when you're hale and hearty, He'll practice it when you can't take it up. Early will I seek. Beloved, practicing His presence is what makes us strong. That's what makes us grow in the Lord. That's what our fellowship with Him. And that's where we get our orders for the day. And then you know, "early will I seek Thee" could be applied to the Christian when he comes in trial. So many times in our trials, we cry for everything but crying to the right person. We're ready to quickly say, "Why me? And why did this happen to me?" and whimper about it a bit. And then we're slow to remember that He told James, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." And that, if you take it in the context, is in direct relationship to the trial. Many times we take that verse out of the context and we apply it generally to wisdom. And I won't argue with that. But the context is trial. He says, "Count it all joy when you enter into different kinds of trial." Now, joy is an inward attitude. Happiness comes because of circumstance, but joy
quite an inward attitude. And I've seen people who put this to practice, who have been very ill, racked with pain. I think one of the most joyous ladies I ever knew was a woman who, as a young girl, about 12, got arthritis and it shrunk her body and twisted it in a shape. Until at 22, that woman, laying there on a bed that she laid on for years, could rejoice in joy in what the Lord had given. Got a lady coming to my coffee hour at home. She's 60-some years old. She had a stroke. She's got one leg all braced up so she can walk. And she comes out to that coffee hour. If anybody will pick her up in the car, she'll get to the car, down the steps, and she'll get up the steps and into my house. You know, that dear lady could say, I've got just what the Lord wants me to have. She said it the other day in front of the whole class. I think it shook everybody in that place. She said, I have just what the Lord wants me to have, and I know it for His glory. Oh, beloved, she's got an inward attitude. An inward attitude of joy. Count it all joy when you enter into different kinds of trials. Oh, there's the trials that come in that sense that hit the body. But there's trials that come in other ways. I remember when I used to fly and I used to go to Atlantic City in New Jersey. And when I did that, I liked to find the local assembly and help out a little bit, even as I was a pilot. Had a chance here and there to help out. And there was a Honduran brother there in that meeting, and I had asked him if there was any visitation that they wanted done or I could help in the several days that I'd be there. And he said, you know, Ray, I've got an old lady on my heart, or she's a young woman, has a husband, but her husband's a drunk. He's no good. And he said, I think she'd really appreciate it if we'd go out there and visit her. So we drove out in the boondocks. When we got out there, there's a high paper shack. And we got inside. It was just a candle burning for some light. It was in November. And I looked at the little kids. And there they had several dresses on to keep them warm. Father had been out drunk and didn't pay the electric bill. They shut that off. They didn't have a telephone. That was shut off. The grocer says he wouldn't sell him any more groceries, only for cash. And you know, when I went in there that night with this dear brother and visited that lady, what do you think she did? You think she told me all her troubles? No, she didn't tell me one of them. I got that from him. You know what she did? She pulled out one of those chairs that didn't have a back on it. Just two rods sticking up like that. And she said, sit down, brother. And she opened her Bible to the Gospel of John. She hadn't been saved too long. And she said, would you explain some of this to me? And for an hour we sat there in the Word of God with that woman radiating the glorious God. I've never been in the presence of a person. I felt so filled that she was so filled with the joy of the presence of her Lord in the very worst of circumstances. Ah, she sought her Lord. She was resting in Him. She was convinced her husband was going to be saved. No matter how bad he was, she felt that the grace of God would reach out to him. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I see. How wonderful to have a God like that, that we can seek Him early. Then he says, my soul thirsteth with my soul. The inward part of David was crying out for his God. I think the thing that brings us to Bible conferences, and the things that bring us to a close relationship, or I should say a fellowship with our Lord, to taking up this word day by day, is a soul that cries, a soul that longs, a soul that wants a refreshing drink. I think so many times at conferences we come, We see one another's faces, but we don't know the difficulties that lie beyond the face. And sometimes to some of us, the face is bare, and the heart is bare, and the soul's laid bare. We get a chance to look within. David's soul was thirsty for God. Oh, so many times I've asked my soul, how thirsty are you? How thirsty are you for the living God? David's soul was thirsty for him. And you know, Israel became thirsty. You know why Israel got thirsty? He says in the 107th Psalm, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Hungering and thirsting, their souls fainted in them. There was a cure. There's that in that Psalm. He said he sent his word, and he healed them, and delivered them out of all their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His deeds, for His wonderful children of men, a thirsting soul. Oh, you know, sometimes when I sit and study seems to be hard. Seems so difficult sometimes to have it speak, that I have to bow that heart and soul of mine to the God that's mine. Say, O Lord, give me a fresh drink. Give me a fresh taste. Give me a hungering and a thirsting for your word. That's the only thing that's ever satisfied this soul of mine. That relationship and that fellowship with Him that comes through a knowledge of the living word, what He's accomplished for me, and then through that fellowship in the written word, as we take it up day by day. Oh, I think this land around us is a dry, thirsty land where no water is. And our fountain is in Him. Our fountain is in Him. Our drink and that which refreshes will only come from springs of water that He offers. David's desire to see Him was to see Thy power and Thy glory as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary. I wonder in these past few days, have you seen God? Have you seen God? Have you seen God through His Word and through His Son? Have you seen the glory that's His? Moral, eternal glory. And is your heart desire to see Him in that glory? We began this conference, as our brother Milo took us yesterday morning, to the hope of glory. That blessed hope that we have of being with Him. That soon coming day when we shall be taken from this scene and we shall be with Him and like Him eternally. We've seen His power. We've seen the power and sensed His power when our sins were taken away, when He caused us to pass from death unto life. And we see His power as lives are changed through the power of the Word of God. And then we see His glory as Christ is revealed in and through it, in the written Word, and then through one another in our fellowship together. And then He says, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise. You'll notice it was first His inward soul longing for God. He had an exercise of soul. There's where it must begin. Must begin within, with an exercise of soul. And when that soul is filled, it's going to come out of our lips. I often think as I sit to study the Word of God, and I've learned that when my soul is filled, and my soul is rejoicing, then the people of God will rejoice as they hear the Word of God. And you know, when our soul is filled, then when it'll come out of our lips. The Lord Jesus said Himself, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Bless your heart, if we could fill our inwardmost beings with the Word of God, that's what's going to come out of our lips. And you know what it will be? Final said, mentioned the fellow saying, praise the Lord, we'll do like David did here, for Thy loving kindness. I've got just like Milo, I am sick of hearing people just say, praise the Lord, and PTL, they cut it to that. You want to praise the Lord? What's your reason? David had a reason. He said, for thy loving kindness.
I like that. Thy loving kindness. Love toward us with kindness.
August Van Ryn told a story that stuck with me through the years in expressing this. He was telling it about his wife. He said that one day an old bum came to the door and August wasn't home. He wanted something to eat. So she wanted to show him a little kindness. And so she took and she gave him something, handed it out the door, and then she hooked the door. But you see, he said one day when he was there, another bum knocked at the door. And this day, she unlocked the door. She invited him in. She sat him at that table and then put a meal in front of him. She showed him loving kindness. Some have likened it like the little boy who said, well, when he was asked what loving kindness is, he said, well, normally I get bread and butter and peanut butter. He said, that's my mom's love for me, but loving kindness is when she puts jelly on top. And you know, we have it in that sense. David said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You know, I believe that we need to praise God with our lips. But we need to praise God practically as well. And we will be to the praise of his glory when we walk in the light of his word. And we will be to that praise of God and to the glory of God when we walk in the New Testament of light. Our light of John's Gospel, chapter 13. When we walk with that love one toward another, toward our brethren. Because he said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. Will that be to the praise of God? Will that be to the glory of God? When all men know we're his disciples because we have loved one toward another. Oh boy, it sure would be. Praise him with our lips. Praise him practically. And praise him continually. Our lives need to be those lives that are lived out with a continual praise to him. And he said, thus will I bless thee, I'll lift up my hands in thy name. Now we got prayer. See, it began in the first verse with an inward exercise of soul, and when that soul became filled, it had the result of coming out of our mouth. And now it's got the result of lifting up those hands in prayer. You know, we need to lift up those hands that hang down and those feeble knees. Seems that when it comes to the prayer life, we're so weak. We're so slow to pray. We say, well, it's difficult to pray. And it is. If you don't believe it, try concentrating and in prayer. For 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes to concentrate on the person that's before you, the Lord himself. And you'll soon see that there are horses dragging your mind in every way that want to pull it off from a concentration on the person who's before you, the Lord himself. We need to lift up the hands in his name. When we do that, see, when there's praise and prayer in our life, that's going to have a result, and that's what he showed in the fifth verse. Now, my soul shall be satisfied with the fifth verse. Now, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. The marrow is the richest part of the bone, isn't it? And the fatness was that part of the sacrifice that belonged to God. It was the richest part. And so David said, my soul shall be filled with marrow and fatness. You want a fat soul? We started out with an exercise soul. But you see, when that exercise soul goes to the fullness of the exercise, is filled within, turns to praise and to prayer. It's going to have a resultant issue in our life. That we're going to have a satisfied soul, and we will praise now with joyful lips. See, I go to visit a nursing home. And there's the man who's the chaplain in that nursing home. It's a rather big one. It's got about 300 beds in it. And every time he meets me, he'll just say, "Hi, Ray, praise the Lord." And if I try to stop him and talk to him, he's just going the other way. See, he doesn't have anything to really praise the Lord for, but he wants to take off. And sometimes when I can talk to him, I notice he's saying, "Praise the Lord," but without joyful lips. Because he really doesn't have a fat soul that's made fat by the riches of God in Christ Jesus. That's a lean soul. How's your soul? Is it satisfied with the one that God was satisfied with, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your soul satisfied with Him? Is it rich? Not when you lay down on your bed and you can't sleep. Ever do that? Couldn't sleep and you lay down and sleep just wouldn't seem to come. He says here, "When I remember thee on my bed and meditate thee on the night watches." When is the soul going to be satisfied? When it's praised? I've prayed. And now he lays down. He said, "I'll praise you with joyful lips." In Isaiah 61, he says there, he's given us the garments of praise instead of, according to Mr. Dobby's translation, instead of the spirit of heaviness. Got that? So when we lay our head down, we turn to praise when you're heavy and you can't sleep. He gives the garments of praise. You ever try that? Can't sleep at night? Sleep won't come? Oh. And then you turn to think upon Him, to meditate on Him in the night season. And now all of a sudden, your heart seems to be lifted. Your lips become joyful. And sleep becomes your portion. I'll meditate on Thee in the night watch. Oh, my soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now, that's a soul that's resting secure, is it? Resting just like Milo said that he did with his boy. Took his hand and walked him across. I had a little guy, Jonathan. When Jonathan was small up at Lake Geneva, he used to walk alongside me sometimes, and he always liked to hold my little finger. And you know, he'd hold it, and one day I remember I was going across some rough ground. And Jonathan was hanging on pretty tight. And he slipped off that little finger and he went down. And I bent over, picked him up again and held out my hand. And again he reached for my little finger. And we walked a few steps and again Jonathan stumbled and he went down. And I thought, "My, I wonder how long he'd do that." So the next time I handed him a closed fist, just like this. You know what he did? He didn't pull that little finger open. He pulled the whole fist open like this, and he was saying, "Dad, you hold my..." A little boy that could understand, I'm holding and I'm slipping off, but if Dad holds, I'm secure. We only walked a few steps and he stumbled again, but this time he didn't go down. I had it. Oh, bless God for the place that He's given us, secure. Satisfied soul. Knowing that His right hand, the right hand of power, remember that's the right hand we looked at earlier today that held the seven stars. It was the same right hand that was laid on John and brought him to. That's the right hand, cure, the hand of power, the hand He holds. Oh, bless your heart. Say tonight, "Oh God, Thou art my God, early will I." I trust that this weekend done something through the power of the Spirit of God to touch your heart, to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. That in your troubles and in your trials, you can find that inward joy because you're practicing the presence of God. And that exercised soul seems so dry in the trial.
and find a place of rest. Streams of grace. Then you can be a soul satisfied, filled with marrow and fat. And you can praise and pray for its loving kindness and do it joy with joy. Praise God that He's opened such a way that a miserable wretch like me could ever pray, could ever pray and walk in that relationship too and that fellowship too, that I can enjoy His presence, the eternal living God. How wonderful. Trust He'll encourage our hearts to want to draw nigh.